are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, children, you are released to go to Sunday school, Kingdom Kids, and be blessed. Well, we are talking about a prayer-saturated church, and I believe that Joy is a prayer-saturated church, and I'm hoping today that I myself will receive grace and mercy for my grieving heart as the Patriots went down last night in major embarrassment. I knew we were a, I just said we are a praying church with grace and mercy, and I got none of that so far. So we have a ways to go, okay? And but to all the Bills fans, congratulations. I humble my heart in your presence. And Josh Allen was truly amazing last night in that historical game. And God is good. Amen. God is good to the Bills fans. I need to talk to him about what he's doing with me today, but I know he's good to the Bills fans. Well, we are, as Pastor Deborah alluded to, that we are on a new journey. I believe that. I've sensed that in my spirit for several months. There's a spirit of anticipation that I felt that God prepared me for 2022. And it's only increasing, and I can sense it. And I'm anticipating this time of prayer and fasting that God is going to meet us every gathering that we have today, as well as Wednesday evening and on Friday, and then individually on our own. And we've been praying for your families that God's presence and God's love and God's healing and God's hope would really saturate your current life and your family situation. So we are just asking God to move in a very real, tangible way, and that you'll experience Him in that manner. Well, today I want to continue and talk about a prayer-saturated church, and I want to talk about faith, faithful prayer. And I want to take us first to the book of James. I want you to go to the 5th chapter, and as I was praying this week, and waiting on the Lord, He was testing me to see if I was going to obey Him and be patient, or if I was going to jump the gun and preach on prayer and a topic of prayer that any pastor could preach. You hear what I'm saying? Do I really want to hear from God what's current and what's needed for the body, or do I want to just preach something on prayer? And I said, no, I want to preach what's on your heart. And I began to panic around Wednesday, as I still didn't have the scripture. I had a sense in my heart, and then I just waited on the Lord Thursday morning, and He dropped one word in my spirit: faithful. Just thought about that. And then He took me to James chapter 5. Give me one verse. And I began to read, and I went, oh, this is interesting. This will be interesting to talk about. And so I want to talk to you about my journey this week in the Word about faithful prayer. We'll start at verse 13 in James chapter 5. You ready? Good. Is any one of you in trouble? Well, I was this morning after. I had a heart condition called sorrowful, grieving, heavy-heartedness, and defeated, because the Patriots lost. So I was in trouble. He should pray. I did. I said, Lord, let those Bills fans be merciful this morning. Is anyone happy? I wasn't happy. And let him sing songs of praise. I did sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what we're going to do this Wednesday. We're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you with oil. And we're going to believe that God's going to saturate your heart and your life with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. That he's going to come to you in the Word of God. He's going to come to you through his Holy Spirit. And he's going to, through the elders and the staff, minister his compassion. That you'll get up from that chair and you'll go, I just met with Jesus. And that was awesome. How many of you need a moment like that right now in your life? Come out on Wednesday night at 6:30, because that's what we're going to do. I'm so grateful for the elders and the staff. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person, man, is powerful and effective. Verse 17, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Wouldn't that be amazing if we heard God that clearly and we stood in that moment and said, God's going to do this. And you were kind of like starting to bite your nails and kind of tweak your ear. Pull your hair out. And wonder if God was going to do it. And he began to do it. And you prayed it. And you believed it. And you moved in faith. And in the Spirit, you began to see the prayer and witness the prayer that you were praying God actually do. Would that not boost your faith in prayer? Can I tell you this, folks? That God's already done that for you. He has already done that for you. You've prayed it, you've believed it, you've activated your faith, and like Elijah, you are a person just like him. And God has heard your faithful prayer, and it has been powerful, and it has been effective, and it has transformed, inspired, and imparted hope into people's lives and situations, because you pray and you're effective in your prayer. Elijah, a man just like us, prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. 18. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Anytime we are praying, something is moving and aligning for harvest to come to the kingdom of God. Souls are ready to be saved. Souls are ready to be delivered. Souls are ready to hear and receive the word of the Lord. Souls that are broken are healed in heart. Souls that have been damaged from the enemy are set free. I'm telling you that when you pray faithful prayers, the harvest is put together and something grows and something breaks forth, and God is moving because of your powerful, effective prayers. Amen. Free for you today. That's not even in my notes. Take it up. My brothers, I wish you would have put my brothers, sisters, and friends, because that's what he means when he says brothers. If one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That is a prayer of hope for all of us. Amen. If you have people in your life, whether it be a relative, a close friend, a family member, and they are backslidden, they are far from God, and they have no intention of returning to Him, your powerful, effective, harvest moving prayer will touch and release the rain of the Spirit of the living God to draw them back into a place of being nurtured by the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It is time to pray for the backslidden person. Can I tell you? Don't get too excited, folks. Don't get too excited, because this is just prayer and fasting week. I mean, come on. God is excited when somebody is prayed for and the Holy Spirit's able to rescue them and draw them out of hell. I was ripped out of hell. I wasn't just taken out like this. No, I was ripped out of hell because I was in such bondage and sin and rebellion and stubbornness and hatred and anger and pride and arrogance and manipulation and deceitfulness and bound with addictions. He had to rip me out of the clutches of the enemy. And people were praying. And I have one of those people who prayed for me every single day in my life today. She's praying for me right now. God assigned her to be an intercessor for my life. It's my spiritual mama. I don't have to tell her what to pray for. She calls me and says, I haven't heard from you. What's going on with you right now? She did that this week. What's going on? Because I've been praying. You see, if you think that God doesn't want to use you, your thinking is off. If you think that God isn't listening to your prayers today, your thinking is off. If you think that because you don't think you're as spiritual as other people, that God will not consider your prayers, your thinking is off today. And he wants to realign that thinking, which is stinking thinking, and say, I want to give you godly thinking and call you to powerful, effective, harvest-moving prayer. Amen?
Amen.
That's faithful prayer. Father God, we're coming today not just to hear a sermon. Oh, how boring that is. We're coming today to receive truth. We're coming today to receive truth that's going to encourage us and edify us and strengthen us and guide us and open the heavens so that we can receive and have a download from heaven into our hearts. We pray today that thy kingdom will come, thy will be done in our hearts, and that we will be a saturated prayer church where the people of God that come and attend will be people who are powerful, who are effective, and have a vision for the unsaved, the backslidden, and the hardest of hearts, and believe that God's more than capable of delivering and setting people free. We want to be an emergency room of people who have been far from God and find answers to their dilemmas within their lives. We ask today that you will anoint this word called faithful prayer. Let our ears be open. Let our hearts be ready. And let us receive a download from the supernatural power of the Spirit of the living God to activate the faith you've given us to pray eternal changing prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. God is serious about faithful prayer. Let me make this statement to you this morning. I hope it inspires your heart, because it inspired my heart regarding faithful prayer. You see, God does nothing outside the realm of prayer. Oh, I know you're all smart. Oh, I know you're capable people. You're gifted, you're capable. No, you can think things through quite well, but I need to tell you this, don't be disappointed, that unless you're praying, God may not move on your behalf. Because He moves when people pray. So many people are convinced that their prayers are not effective. They think that they're not effective enough, they're not fervent enough, and that God really doesn't care if they pray. Can I tell you, it's a command to pray. It's a command to pray. And your prayers will change somebody's eternal destination. I'm living proof of it. Living proof that somebody's prayers can change the eternal destiny of an individual and their lives. It should be no surprise that the Heavenly Father proclaims that prayer should be the priority activity of His church and of each of His children's lives. Prayer is the medium through which God chooses to bestow His blessing. I don't know about you, but I need His blessing. I want to be blessed by God. Life is tough enough, folks, that not to have the blessing of God, not to have the encouragement from God, not to have the Spirit of God moving on my own personal life, not to live this vivacious spiritual life and to see and witness the unfolding of the destiny and the purpose of God in my life. I want the blessing of God. What do you want? I have done so many things in my own strength. I have dreamt so many dreams for my own purposes. I have done so much planning so that my life and all the details of my life would be laid out and I would be one of the most successful people in this world. And He took it all away. I was pretty ticked at Him. When God took away the things that I had dreamt about, planned for, went to school for, we had something to talk about. But then, as I began to pray, faithful prayers, and watched and witnessed the unfolding of God's purpose and plan and destiny, I went, ooh. Whoa. If I surrender and submit to that rather than this, this is life-giving. This is where hope lies. This is the destiny I've longed for all my life, and I've been missing, thinking that if I planned it, and I executed it, and I paid for it, and I did it, it would occur. But God has to be the center of that plan. And that's where faithful prayer really needs to be activated. Prayer is essential to victory over the forces of evil. Some of us have struggled with areas, and we're still struggling with areas in our lives today. It could be attitude issues. It could be relational issues. It could be places of bondage. It could be places of illness. It could be places of despair. It could be spiritual damaged emotions. Damaged emotions. It could be places in your heart where the addiction of your own flesh and your sinful nature, there's a continual thorn in your flesh and you can't seem to overcome it. You can overcome it through faithful prayer. Did you hear what I said? You can overcome it through faithful prayer and the power of Jesus Christ. God promises us that. There's victory through prayer. When we purposely neglect prayer, it grieves our Heavenly Father's heart. Today we are being inspired to pray for joy. Join Community Church so that it will continue to grow and be a prayer-saturated church. Now, listen up, folks. There's a difference, because some of us think because we have a lot of program prayer, we're already a saturated prayer. No, no, no. We're talking about a lifestyle of prayer of each person attending a church that has programs of prayer and opportunities of prayer. And many times when we have prayer opportunities, it's a limited few that show up. So we're talking about a spirit of a people and a heart of a people and a desire of a people and a willingness of a people and a sacrificing people. That's what we're talking about in a prayer-saturated church. And I believe we haven't arrived, but I believe we're on a journey. Amen? Amen. And actually, we've been on this journey for several years, hoping to see breakthrough. And so we're asking you to pray along with us that Joy will be a prayer-saturated church. We're committed to be a church that is in divine partnership with Jesus Christ. So the things that have been prepared in heaven will become a reality here on the corner of Bay and Goodman, in the city of Rochester, in the state of New York State, and within the country of the United States of America and internationally. That the very thing that takes place here on our knees and within our hearts, we're changing the world for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the church we've been called to be. God's calling us. And as your pastor, I long for each of you to have a strong devotional life, prayer life, and a biblical understanding of who our Heavenly Father is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is and who the Holy Spirit can be in your life and how you can relate personally to God through prayer. I'm convinced that spending time in the presence of the Lord produces humility, produces purity, produces unity, compassion, and Christ-likeness that can change any situation in our lives. Did you hear? Any situation in your life. The situation may not change, but the person in the situation can be changed. That's what he's after. There's situations in my life right now that have not changed in several years. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to stay and be stagnant. I'm going to find God in the midst of the brokenness. I'm going to find God in the midst of my question. I'm going to find God in the midst of a dry season. I'm going to find God to help me overcome the thorn in my side. And that person's not nobody in this room, by the way. Just letting you know. If you want to be that thorn, just sign up, okay? You see, a prayer-saturated church, listen up, inspires people to develop a more faithful prayer life. Let me say that to you again. A prayer-saturated church inspires people to develop a faithful prayer life. That's what we want to do here at Joy. And if you're going to develop a more faithful prayer life, I want you to consider these essential ingredients. There's some essentials that have to take place and be within a saturated church if the people attending are going to become like that. Amen? And so I see in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, these four elements that are essential if we're going to be people who have a faithful prayer life. And the first one is found in verse 13 and 14, and that is, live as a victorious person. That's one of the essentials. You've got to live as a victorious person, not a victim of your circumstances, but as a victorious person. And we see here, is any one of you in trouble? he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. There is in that a victorious mindset. He's saying there will be times in your life where you will need prayer. There will be times you're going to have times of trouble. There'll be times when you're going to be sick. There are going to be times when you can't take care of this stuff. You won't be strong on your own, and you're going to need some assistance. And are you going to be humble enough to admit you're not the victim of this circumstance? You're the victorious person God's called you to be. Because you need an elder to pray over you is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that you're obeying the command of the word of the Lord. It's an understanding that you know that there's power in the authority that's been given to an elder to come and anoint with the oil, which is a representation of the Spirit of the living God, and that when there's a laying on of hands by an elder, there's an activation of faith that's supposed to come and transform that situation in your life. That's what he's asking us to do. Well, I can take care of this on my own, right? The elders are busy. I don't think so. They love to do those things. Call Steve. 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Right, Steve? There goes the hand. Bill actually likes to be called at 12 or 1 in the morning. That's the best time for Bill. Just joking, don't do that. I mean, if you need to. But I'm making a point. Our elders have always made themselves available. And our elders understand the authority that God has given them to minister through the laying on of hands for the sick and the desperate and broken in heart. Our elders have never let you down. Just telling you. It's true. And they've always made themselves available to you. And I just encourage you that they are people of victory. And they have an ability to minister to you in your time of need. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, through prayer, God can transform troubles into triumphs. And that's what he loves to do. He sends afflictions into our lives so that we will engage in seeking him with more determined purpose. And if we want the blessing, we must be prepared to carry the burden and fight the battle. And what happens when you have the victim mentality rather than a victor's mentality? You start blaming God. You start blaming others. You start using your circumstance and your difficulty as the reason for not becoming more spiritual and not depending on God. I'm in this, and this keeps happening, so God doesn't love me, God doesn't care for me, God's not available, and God's always available for Jim Dalmich and Steve and Bill and Chris and Jared, but he's really not there for me. Grow up. Just grow up. Because that's not what the word says. Amen? No. He's saying, in some translations, it says if, three times. If this happens, you can be victorious, is what he's saying. And to top off your victory, call the elders. Because if you call the elders, you just stepped out in a new level of victory, you're humble. Right? And therefore, I can move in a different way in your life. And one of the purposes of suffering is always character building. And what he does through suffering. When we begin to develop new character traits that look a little more like Jesus in our time of suffering. We know that to be true because in Mark chapter 14, verses 36 to 38, we see Jesus in Gethsemane. And Jesus he's desperately crying out in his hour of suffering. And what does he do right away? He doesn't start moaning and groaning. He calls on Abba, Father. That's what he does. He calls on Abba Father and he says, everything is possible for you. You want to pray faithful prayer? You want faith-based prayer? You call on Abba Father. You say, everything is possible with you. Just before you get started, that should be your head in line. Abba Father, before I start whining and dining with you, let me tell you, I know all things are possible with you. I know you're capable. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know how you're going to turn this around, but I know. And he says, Jesus says, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Verse 36. And Jesus inspires us to grow into victorious people during the intensity of our suffering. And then he brings his three buddies with him. And three times he has to go back to his buddies and say, could you not wait and tarry for an hour? Could you not have been alert and aware that something might be going? Couldn't you tell I was grieving? And it says in Luke, they could not pray because they were grieved in heart. The grief was so heavy that it fatigued them, wore them out. I believe that happens for people. I really do. That where the situation is so beyond the situation that you're so grieved and that you don't even know how to muster up. You cry out Abba Father's name. You declare all things are possible. He will send somebody to your side to pray for you. Or he'll call one of his intercessors from around the world to pray for you. That's how much he cares for you and your situation. I like what Billy Graham said in his book, Hope for the Troubled Heart. He said, when we pray for help in trouble, or for healing in sickness, or for deliverance in persecution, God may not give us what we ask for because that may not be his wise and loving will for us. He will answer our prayer in his own way, and he will not let us down in our hour of need. And so I am encouraging you today, no matter what your hour of need may be, when it may be, what it might be, you can count on God to be faithful to you. Amen? Do you see trials and tribulations as opportunity for growth? If you look back on your challenges that you faced in 2021, can you see ways in which God was trying to move you in victory rather than from being a victim? God is going to take us on a journey this year, and people who have actually been oppressed by the victim spirit, it's a spirit, and it's from the enemy. And we're going to need to kick its butt. And declare, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth within me. Amen. Amen? Amen? Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. And we're going to watch people who are new in their faith, or people who have been in their faith and have not experienced a new movement of God in their life, that God's going to lift that heaviness. God's going to lift that impossible situation. God's going to lift the grief in spirit, mind, and soul. God's going to lift the oppression. And there are going to be people who are walking around for the first time in many months, many years, as victors in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're victors in Christ, not victims. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm a victor in Christ. And then say, I hope you believe me. If they talk back to you, tell them you'll meet them after service, okay? You see, a prayer-saturated church inspires people to develop a more faithful prayer life. What will get in the way of faithful prayers is a victim mentality. What gets in the way of faithful prayers is when that victim mentality begins to redesign your journey, your purpose, and the reason God has placed you within His body and within a local church. What He'll do is He'll come and tell believers they're ineffective, they have no power, their prayers mean nothing to God, and I'm telling you that that is a lie from the enemy, that you are a victorious prayer warrior. Amen. I am challenging you this week to get into the presence of the Lord and to declare in the presence of the Lord that you desire to walk in victory and that you are going to pray every day. Amen. Somebody just said, oh my gosh, every day? I didn't say you had to be in His presence for 5 hours. I said every day. You determine what that's going to be. But if you can't lift up a prayer to God in 30 seconds and remember the one who loves you and saved you, we have some other issues. Right? And so I just challenge you to pray every day. I want to look at verses 15 to 16. And I want to kind of, this is going to be an insight that I never caught before. And so I hope I can really open this up for you. And it says here, and the prayer offered in faith. How is it offered?
In faith.
Okay, it doesn't tell us how much faith, does it?
No.
It doesn't tell us, like, you have to have a boatload of faith or don't pray. No, it says offered in faith. Will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So it's not saying to that individual who might actually be having some difficulty following, obeying the Lord, that God would not respond to their faithful prayer. Even if their faith has been tarnished, even if their faith may be wrecked at that moment, even if their faith has been kind of suppressed because the ongoing onslaught of trouble in their life. I am telling you, if you offer whatever type of faith you have, God will respond to that type of prayer. That's what it says. And then it goes on, verse 16. Therefore, I like that therefore because it's saying, first of all, try it on your own. Activate your own faith. Get busy with God. Tell Him what you need to tell Him. And then it says, okay, I'm going to actually support that, surround that, and do something about that. Confess your sin to each other. Pray for one another so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And when I meditated upon those verses, I see this as an essential in a saturated church and people who want to have a faithful prayer life. And that is, you have to be vulnerable in your brokenness. Confession is necessary for reconciliation and to repair the wrongs that we've done. Confession of sin is a confidential confession to a godly person who will offer prevailing prayer in your time of brokenness and offense and sin. And so I'm really challenged that it eliminates any form of excuse, any form of reasoning away my behavior, and then, well, God, I really don't feel like praying. I don't have faith. He's saying, wait. I didn't tell you what type of faith. I'm just saying, offer it in faith. And if you need more faith, ask me for it. I'm willing to give it. And if you need more help, then get with somebody who can help you. Get with somebody who can sit with you and you can be honest and vulnerable and let them help you walk through the battles you might be facing in your life. Vulnerability will bring restoration to our souls and spirits when we disclose our weakness, our illness, our sins to another person. What? Not for the purpose of further gossip. Not so that we have the hot news. Not so that we feel more spiritual than somebody who's fallen, but so we can be available in their time of crisis of faith. I personally have a coach, and we've been working through this book. It's called The Dark Side of Leadership. And I read this book when I was in seminary, and because seminary, you're reading 3-4 books a week. It was crazy how I ever did that. I have no idea. And so this book came across, and I was in this class called Renewing Congregations, or Renewing Leadership. And we had to read it, and then we had to write a dissertation on it. And I loved it so much, but I didn't have time to process it. But the Holy Spirit said, listen here, buddy, pay attention to this book. So I went to somebody, and I said, I really would love you to coach me and coach me through this book. And so we had a session sometime, I'm not sure if it was December or November, and the chapter was really tough. I mean, talking about digging up the dark side of yourself, you know what I mean? And this individual had been really patient and gracious and loving and kind, great coach. So as I've been with this individual working through the dark side of my character and my old nature, I want to lead well. I don't want to lead in darkness. I want to lead in light, right? I want to lead in truth. I want to be Christ-like. And so we were talking about my upbringing and why some of my upbringing was still affecting and hindering who I was today. And I love this, and I love this coach, and I feel safe with this individual. And so at the end of our session, my coach said, James, this is the most vulnerable you've been with me. This is refreshing. It took faith to do that. Are you hearing me? That did not just come out of James because I had to share my story. I felt safe. I felt that I could confess to that person these things in my character. And I knew this individual was safe and would take it to the Lord and be there by my side to walk me through when I've behaved sometimes in the dark side of my character. Are you with me? It's important to be vulnerable. It's important to be transparent and authentic. It's important for somebody else who actually may be further along than you in a specific area in your heart, for them to look in and see that place and have grace and kindness and love and compassion and say, you're not going to stay there. You don't have to stay there. I believe God has that not only for me, but for each one of us. He wants to give us that opportunity to be vulnerable. I want to give you 7 ways, and they're in your notes, but I want to expand this. I want to give you 7 ways that we can choose to be vulnerable in our brokenness. Sometimes I'm ashamed that I'm still broken. Can I tell you that? Sometimes I'm ashamed that I'm not where I thought I would be after serving the Lord for 37 years. Sometimes I'm ashamed because you're a pastor and you think, well, you're in the Word every week, you're in prayer every week, I do the disciplines of the faith. Why am I still back in this place? Because I need somebody else to walk with me on the journey. And it's okay to need somebody else on the journey. And it's okay to admit humbly, I don't have all the answers. And boy, sometimes it really ticks me off when my coach has the answers. Just telling you the truth. But that's part of the process. That's part of the journey. And so these seven ways to help us be vulnerable are from the book, The Emotional Healthy Church, by Peter Sicario. This book has really helped me on my journey as a leader. And the first way is admit we are weak and choose to be transparent. And where we're able to disclose ourselves to an appropriate person, make sure that person is a Christ follower. Make sure that person is a faithful servant of God. Make sure that person actually likes you. If they don't like you, they're not going to help you. Oh, they may love you, but do they like you? We have learned the value of being approachable. And we're open to input. We need to grow in being approachable. If you want to be vulnerable, you have to be approachable. If you want to be vulnerable, you have to have other people's input. The third one, we're growing to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. Oh, James chapter 1 talks about that, doesn't it? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. The fourth, where Christ's power can be seen as I show vulnerability and my weaknesses. There's power in authenticity. There's power because Jesus comes and moves in any form of my weakness, any character flaw, any character defect, anything called sin in my old nature, or things that I'm acting out currently, that when I'm leaning in the grace of God, there's a release of that grace. Within that grace, there's new power, there's new favor, there's new acceptance, there's new forgiveness, and now I'm walking in a greater strength than my weakness. Who wouldn't want help from being vulnerable? Choosing to be vulnerable in my brokenness. Understanding the significance of forgiveness. Where I don't hold people in debt to me because they won't change. They're not willing to change. Or they don't know how to change is more like it. And allowing myself that before they earn my forgiveness, to give them my forgiveness. If anything robs you of vulnerability, it's when you keep punishing, you keep blaming others for the current status of your own spirituality. You're responsible. Yes, they may have sinned against you. They may have wronged you. They may have treated you terribly, done something terrible. But you are responsible for your current spiritual status. That is between you and the Lord. And so he says, I want you to be vulnerable before me. Let me tell you, I'm asking you to forgive others their trespasses as I've forgiven you your trespasses. Oh, by the way, I'm not asking. I'm commanding. Don't tell me what to do. Oh, you may not say that to God, but Bob Mumford says this, that your spirit speaks louder than your words. And your spirit travels through your attitudes. Oh my. Oh my. Understand the significance of forgiveness. And we have learned to take responsibility for ourselves, where we don't blame, we don't accuse, we don't make other people the scapegoat of our own personal mistakes. And number seven, we've learned to be empathetic with others' pain. And we're comfortable of being present without trying to fix them. Don't you want to get with some people and just, you want to fix them? You know, you see the issue, you see the problem, you're like, I know how to do that one. Boy, do they need help. Have you ever said that?
Boy, do they need help. Are they certainly not a pain in the neck? Come on.
Well, you guys are more holy than me. I don't know.
I'm just telling you, I've said it, I've done it, I thought it. And boy, I could fix that one.
And God's like, don't you touch that. That's me. I can do it. I may choose to use you, but I'd rather you be empathetic to their pain. I encourage you to review this list. And I want to challenge you, is there one of these seven ways that you can choose to grow in vulnerability? And I want you to ask the Lord to grant you the grace to apply one of these insights to your current relationships. I see in verses 17 to 18, there's another essential that's so important if we're going to be a prayer-saturated church, and that is we need to have a valiant spirit in prayer. A valiant spirit in prayer. And James uses Elijah as a role model of one who is valiant in spirit and persistent in prayer. And how much do you have in common with a man like Elijah? Because you look at Elijah, when you go to 1 Kings 17 and 18, you're like, this guy's a mighty warrior. This guy's a persistent prayer warrior. This guy, he's a prophet. Why are you comparing us to him? Because he's a man just like us. He's a man who needed God. He's a guy who dealt with fear. He's a guy who did a miracle and then he would run off and hide and isolate himself because he was afraid for his own life. He was a guy who had needs just like you and I. And he had to rely on God like you and I. That's why he's just like you and I. He needed God just like you and I. And James insists that he's a man just like us. And so Elijah didn't pray because he was a great man. He prayed because he knew a great God. Amen? He wasn't a great man. He knew a great God. And a great God made him into a great man of God. And God, who is a great God, is going to turn us into great sons and daughters of God as we pray. One who is valiant in spirit is powerful and effective in prayer. And James shows us some reasons Elijah was a valiant prayer warrior. Valiant in spirit and in prayer. He prayed fervently, it says. He was aware of what he was praying for. First of all, he told Ahab, King Ahab, okay, bucko brains, you are so rebellious, God's going to deal with you, and there's not going to be one drop, one iota of rain for 3 years. Let me pray that way. And he prayed. There was no rain for 3 years. He said it in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and then we go to 1 Kings 18, to verses 41 to 46, and then he comes back from Mount Carmel, and he meets Obadiah, who saved the prophets, and as he's with them, he tells him, go tell Ahab it's about to rain. And Obadiah's like, are you out of your mind? He's going to kill me. Just go tell him it's going to rain. There was not a cloud in the sky. It looked like Rochester weather today. Not a cloud in the sky. And so here he is, and he goes back up to Mount Carmel, and he gets down, and he prays from the depths of his loins, it says. And he looks up, and he tells one of his servants, go out and check and see. Comes back 7 times. And the servant says, there's a little cloud the size of a hand. Go and tell Obadiah, go tell Ahab it's about to rain. And tell Ahab he better get going, he's going to get stuck in the mud. And he meets up with Ahab and it's pouring rain. He confidently prayed, expecting results. I want you to pray with confidence this week.
I want you to pray with confidence, and I want you to pray knowing that when there's not a cloud in the sky and God needs it to rain, He can make it rain. No matter what your circumstance might be right now, if it's not and it needs to be, He's capable of moving something so that what isn't can be in your life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's our God. Yeah. That's our God, folks. Yeah. He loves to do that. Amen. And so Elijah did not allow sin to cloud his conversation with God. What do I mean by that? He didn't allow fear. He didn't allow Ahab to intimidate him. He didn't allow what was happening to the prophets to intimidate him. He didn't allow Queen Jezebel's threats to tempt him to not go and tell Ahab the rain is coming. He did not allow anything to disrupt the glory that God was about to receive because rain was about to come. We are about to experience the glory of God because rain of the Holy Spirit's about to come. And not in the next coming weeks, this week in our lives. Today, I questioned him last night watching the Bills and the Patriots where the rain was for me. There were these three preachers, and they sat discussing the most effective positions of prayer. Do you know there's specific effective positions to pray? Oh, yes. And pastors love to practice this. And well, there was this telephone repairman who was working nearby. And so one of the pastors says, well, kneeling is the very best way to pray. No, another one contended, I get the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven. Oh, you both are wrong, the third insisted. The most effective prayer position is lying prostrate, face down on the floor before the Lord. And so this telephone repairman couldn't contain himself any longer. And he said, hey, fellas, he interrupted, the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole. It's not about your position. It's about your effective, powerful prayer. Amen. We get caught up in all the incidentals, and God's saying, will you just pray? Amen. Valiant in spirit and in prayer. I just want to encourage you today that we can't allow our busyness, our apathy, our self-sufficiency to cause us to believe that we can run things ourselves. We can't. And we've come to the end of it, and COVID has proved it. We must ask God to increase our desire to spend time with Him this week. It's time to develop a faithful prayer life, if you haven't already. And if you have, it's time to grow within your faithful prayer life. If you are currently weighed down by activities and the cares of this world, they will steal that time that He's longing to have with you at His feet this week. You can enjoy a faithful prayer life in 2022. How? Live as a victorious person. How? Be vulnerable in your brokenness. How? Have a valiant spirit in prayer. And the fourth one that I didn't discuss, and I will in time, is have a prayer and a vision for reconciliation. Verses 19 and 20. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this amazing time we've had in Your presence this morning. We thank You that You're calling us to develop a faithful prayer life. We thank You that as a prayer-saturated church on a journey, that You've called us to help people develop a faithful prayer life. We just ask today that those gathered here will live
victorious rather than as victims. That they will live as vulnerable rather than hiding their brokenness. That they would be valiant in spirit rather than being defeated in prayer. And that they will have a vision for reconciliation rather than staying in a place where relationships are damaged. Oh God, come to this beautiful body of believers, Joy Community Church. And would you come at this hour of need? Would you come and visit us? Would you come and speak to us? Would you come and inspire us? Would you come and deliver us? Would you come to heal us? Would you come and be our Abba Father? Lord, would you come no matter what the trouble might be, no matter how deep the pain might be, no matter where we might be on the journey of overcoming, would you come and uplift us this week? I pray for this to be a week of breakthrough. And I pray that you and your Spirit, O Lord, will come and saturate us with purpose. Saturate us with boldness and courage. Saturate us with a willingness to wait and be patient. Saturate us with a desire to be like Christ. Saturate us with your presence and your healing virtue, that we may leave this week knowing we met with the living God of heaven. And we declare, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let that will be done in our personal lives, we pray. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Let's thank the Lord. He's awesome.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.